Many of you will know the role of a father today, or perhaps you've understood the role of the father to be the provider of the family. You work all day and sometimes into the night to ensure that your family has what they need. When you get home in the evening, you've done your work for the day in providing for your family. So what do? You flop down in your favorite chair in front of the TV or perhaps in front of the computer and you vegetate, watching some or other sporting event that you'd pre-recorded, 6 weeks ago that you hadn't watched yet, or you watch some movie, or perhaps you're engrossed in some computer game or PlayStation or Wii or whatever the thing is. Your supper gets brought to you and dumped in front of you by your wife or one of your kids. And your children walk around you on eggshells for fear of disturbing you as you relax after your day's work. School worries, well, don't bother me with those. They're not my worries. Deal with it, is the attitude of our fathers. And on the weekend, well, hey, I've worked so hard all week. The weekend is for me. Saturday mornings, we're out doing whatever we like doing. Perhaps it's riding our bikes or diving or surfing or working in the garage or perhaps even gardening. And then in the afternoon, well, boxer playing rugby, it's the Sharks against the Stormers and we're rooting for the Stormers. But you know how it goes and we're watching sport all the time. And well, Saturday's finished and Sundays, if our week hasn't been too hectic and too busy, we might do something with our family. We might drag everybody along, often against their will, to some show and event. It's Top Gear show this weekend in Durban. Perhaps you will have dragged your children off unwillingly to the show. Or you go and visit some family member. And at the end of the month, us fathers, we give ourselves a pat on the back. And we marvel, wow, what a good father I am. Look how much money I brought in this month. Wow, I'm a good dad. Now, as fathers, we think that if we're home, we are spending time with our family. But friends, the Bible has a totally different understanding of what it means to be a father. And for that matter, a mother to our children. This morning, I want to have a look at two commands that Paul gives us in this passage in Ephesians chapter 6. Two commands that I believe are directed at Christian fathers and are suggestive of what we as fathers are to do. Two commands that I believe relate to our walk with the Lord. Have a look at chapter 5, verse 21 of Ephesians, where it says there, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Yes, even in parenthood. We are to submit to one another. And Paul then goes on to speak from chapter 5, verse 21. He speaks about husbands and wives. He speaks about children. And then goes on to speak about parents. And what he's doing is he's showing each one of us, husbands and wives, boys and girls, moms and dads, how we are to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Chapter 5, verse 1 of Ephesians, Paul tells us that we are to be imitators of God, in verse 2, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. According to Paul then, what I believe Paul is going on to say now about fathers is that through our relationship with our children, we either teach them the love of God or drive them from the love of God. Now, when we have a look at parenthood or fatherhood, and specifically, but it also includes mothers, we are seeing how serious a role we have as parents. We are held accountable later on, well, not solely, but We are held responsible if our kids reject Christ because of the way we lived in the home. If we lived the Christian life in the home and they still reject Christ, I think that's a different story. But sometimes as parents, we chase our own children away from wanting to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one comment before we get into our passage this morning, and I just want to speak about here, is that although Paul is addressing fathers in this passage, I don't want you moms and grandmothers and grandfathers all to go to sleep saying, oh, well, I'm a grandfather, now it doesn't apply to me, or I'm a mother, it doesn't apply to me. Because just like Paul would use the word brother to denote brother and sister, so I believe Paul is using the word father to denote father and mother. Now, perhaps you're a single parent here, and so perhaps you have both roles. You do the mother job and the father job. Well, then what we have to say is for you as well. So I want us to see this. Although Paul is saying fathers, 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 I think he's talking about parents. Okay. But we want to focus on fathers today, but listen with us all the same. Paul wants us to be imitators of God, the Father, in the way that we live our lives in the home. And so when it comes to chapter 6 and verse 4, the verse I want to focus on this morning, Paul tells us how, as fathers, we are to imitate God in our lives so that our children come to an understanding of who God is. Now, Paul gives us two commands here this morning. The first is a negative command, and the second is a positive command. So let's have a look firstly at the negative command in chapter 6 and verse 4, which I've entitled, "Do not provoke your children to anger." Have a look at the first half of verse 4 there. Notice there, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." Now, that's a very short little phrase that is mentioned. Perhaps we don't fully understand it, and hopefully this morning we'll be able to work through that and so we can understand that a bit better. But this is not just some phrase that Paul says, well, dads, if you're feeling up to it, if you're having a good day, don't exasperate your children. He's not saying something, oh, well, you know, if it applies to you, do not exasperate your children. What Paul is saying here is actually a direct command to us as fathers. Do not, he says, exasperate your children. Something that, unfortunately, I think most fathers probably do, more so than perhaps the mothers do, although that it can apply to them as well. But what does it mean to exasperate our children? Well, I think it means to rule our children in a way, in such a way, that they become angry with us. In the English Standard Version of the Bible, they've translated this verse as, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger," which I think is perhaps a little bit easier to understand than that exasperate word. You see, the thinking behind Paul's command is that he knows and understands how we as parents and even grandparents can make irritating and unreasonable demands on our children. Paul understands the delicate nature of a child and how something said in the wrong way by someone that they love can and will affect their relationship with that person. And I think often this could happen, and just by way of example, through dads that try to live out their dreams in their children. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those that push their kids into things that they failed at because they wanted to do it. And so they push them beyond what they are capable of in the hope of making them into someone that they could not be or failed at. That could lead our children to anger against us. Exasperating our children could also be a harsh word, an unkind remark, expecting them to understand something that we do and getting annoyed with them when they don't. It could be something that drives our kids mad, makes them frustrated and irritates them. And well, the list could go on and on and on. Now, I think all parents are guilty of that to some degree. But I think fathers tend to be worse at that than the moms. If I just look at my own way that I sometimes treat my children. And I think we need to sometimes ask God and ask our kids to forgive us for the way that we have treated them, causing them to not love us, to lead to anger. So Paul's first command to us today is to treat our children in such a way that we do not provoke them to anger. I met a young man the other day, and well, he came to realize that I was a Christian, and immediately he went off to tell me how he is not a Christian. And the reasoning being, well, because in his home, his parents claimed to be Christians, but they lived like anything except being a Christian in their homes. They went to church and expected him to as well, and pushed the Bible down his throat, but when they got home, everything was thrown off. And he said, Christians are two-faced. I don't want to be one of them. And so this young man is now anti-Christianity because his parents exasperated him and led him to anger because they did not live the way the Lord had wanted them to. And so easily in our home situations, we can drive our kids away from the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. But on a more positive note, now Paul now focuses his attention on what we should do rather than what we shouldn't do. And he says, rather bring them up. Look at verse 4 again. Instead of provoking our children to anger, we are to bring them up. Now, this word to bring up has the meaning of nourishing and nurturing. Suppose we think about some plant or other that we have. And as I was writing this talk, I recalled a little orchid that my mom was given. You remember the little test tube orchid? It came in a little test tube, probably about, 10 centimeters long and tiny little round thing with some gel in the bottom and this tiny little plant there. And it came with a whole set of instructions. And, well, one of the first instructions was, well, we had to give this plant a name, and we had to talk to the plant, and, well, there was also instructions about what we should feed this orchid if we wanted to see the flowers, and what we must do if it outgrew the test, or when it outgrew the test tube, and the lists went on and on and on. Basically, what they were saying was this little orchid needed tender love and care, TLC. Do you know what I'm meaning when I say TLC? This little orchid needed tender, loving care. It needed the right food, the right light, the right temperature, and so on. And I don't know how long it took, but it was a good number of years that this little plant was lovingly cared for and spoken to and called by its name. What is the name? Orinoco or something like that. Can't remember. But we called this little plant that name, and it grew into quite a big plant. And eventually, after years and years of TLC, this plant bore this magnificent bloom of flowers. That's what Paul's talking about here when he says, bring up our children. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, some of you might be familiar with his books. He's written many commentaries. And he says this, if parents but gave as much thought to the rearing of their children as they do to the rearing of animals and plants, the situation would be very different. And I think I agree with that, friends. We often spend so much time focusing on our little dog, or on some plant that we're trying to cultivate, or on something else. Perhaps it's our car, or our garage, or whatever it might be. And we forget about our children. Paul says that when we are to not exasperate our children, we are to bring them up with tender, loving care. And notice he's speaking to the fathers here, although he's speaking about parents. It's about giving our children what they need in terms of love and care, so that in their time, they will also, in the illustration that I used a moment ago, bear their crop of flowers, that they will bloom. So, how does Paul then go on to say we should bring up our children? Well, I believe he gives us three instructions to this command. We are to bring them up, firstly, in the training. Verse 4, fathers, instead, bring them up in the training. Or as the English Standard Version puts it, fathers, bring them up in the discipline. Now that's a word we don't like to talk about today, isn't it? But it's the idea of training our children, and that could include discipline. In other words, involvement from our side as parents, and especially from the father. At no point is Paul saying that if you are the father, when you walk in that front door in the evenings, that your responsibilities are now done and dusted. He's saying that as the dad in the home, you need to be involved in the training and the discipline of your children. Now, of course, training goes in lots of ways. You have a look, we've got the Olympics coming up soon, and lots of athletes are training for that. Training is not always easy. It's hard work. Discipline is hard work. For you discipline your child now, and 2 minutes later they're doing exactly the same thing. Which means you've got to get off your comfortable chair in front of your favorite TV show and discipline them. It's hard work. But that's what Paul's talking about here. Remember that the Bible very clearly points to the idea and the importance of discipline within our children's lives. Just three quick references from Proverbs. They're all on the screen there. Proverbs 13, verse 24. He who spares the rod hates his son. Not just isn't worried about his son, but hates his son. But he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. And I think the most important verse on this issue of discipline, Proverbs 23, 14 and 15. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul. Remember that Paul's argument has been that through the way we bring up our children, we either lead them to the Lord or away from the Lord. We either lead them towards salvation or away from salvation. So part of bringing up our children is training them, and that might be and should include discipline. Obviously, we do need to just throw in the caution here that is not beating them until they are black and blue. But it is carefully administered discipline. I'm not talking about child abuse here. That's a totally different thing. But I'm talking about that good, firm smack on the behind when they've done the wrong thing. And I believe the Bible clearly speaks about that. And as the father, we need to be involved with that. Why? To help them, to lead them on the right path so that their soul might be saved. So as a parent, I'm all for corporal punishment when it is done in the right way. Not in the way that will break the child or, I suppose, as Paul's just said, exasperate the child and lead the child to anger. But in a way that is done in loving and caring to correct that child in the ways of the Lord. Now, we don't have time today to talk about this much more, and I'm sure it's a great contentious issue, and perhaps you want to come and talk to me after the service. I'd be more than happy to do that with you. Perhaps you want some guidelines or ideas, not that I know much, but we can chat about those things together and we can try and help one another. But naturally, we also need to be careful of the opposite extreme in our training of our children, that we don't become bad disciplinarians and say, well, I'm going to train my child and let them find their own way in life. Isn't that the modern approach to life? Oh, well, let the children grow up and they must make their own decisions. So we as parents take a step back and we say, they must sort themselves out. But I don't believe that's what training is about. Imagine if an Olympic athlete said, oh, well, that's cool. I'm going to train for the Olympics by not doing what the coach says. I mean, that's just nonsense, isn't it? But why do we as parents say the same thing? And think that if we don't direct and challenge our children and lead them in the right path, that they are going to naturally choose that right path. And that's what Paul's saying. As fathers, we need to be involved and train our children with discipline. Paul also goes on to say that we are to bring up our children not only in the training, but also in instruction. Now, while training involves more of the physical side of life, like discipline, instruction would be the verbal side, like more the classroom side of things. And so verse 4, bring them up in the training and instruction. In other words, part of our duty as a father is to teach our children. Now, as I mentioned, children should not be left to their own devices and to learn what they want to learn. But as fathers, as the heads of our households, we should teach our children about different things. They need to be given instructions from our parents, and especially from us as dads. Now, sometimes as a parent, we will hand over part of this instruction and training issues to those who know more about different things. That's why we send our children to schools, because generally people who've studied how to be teachers are better than we might do. Although we might understand our kids better, they are better able to instruct our children in the things that they need to learn at school. And I think that is good and helpful. Likewise, we do the same thing here on Sundays. And so we hand over our children to a Sunday school teacher who goes and teaches them about the things of the Bible. That is right and good. But we must not say, oh, well, I've brought my children to Sunday school. That's it, cool. I don't have to talk about the Bible anymore to them. Or, oh, it's the teacher's problem. I mustn't be involved. Parents are to be involved in the training and the instruction of their children. On more than one occasion, our kids have come home with some or other question from school, and Helen and I have been able to teach them and instruct them in what the Bible says on a specific subject. We are always involved, or we should be always involved as fathers. Now, before we think that Paul is just saying that all our kids must be educated, he goes on to tell us what they must be educated and trained and instructed in. And this is the third instruction that Paul gives us. Rather, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. And I think this is the key, friends. I think this is what Paul is alluding to in this whole passage. Our involvement of parents, as parents in our kids' lives, must be such that we are teaching, disciplining, instructing them and our kids in the way of the Lord. If you still got your finger in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I think it was around page 200 in the Old Testament. Keep your finger in Ephesians, we're coming back there now. But jump with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want to have a look at three verses in Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is when the Israelites are about to enter the promised land. Moses is giving a big sermon to them at this point. The whole of Deuteronomy is a sermon by Moses. And he is encouraging the people here. In fact, he's commanding the people of what they are to do when they get into the promised land. Notice verse 2. Moses says that we are to, when we possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them, so that's the idea of grandparents' involvement as well, you are to teach them that they may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. So just because you're a grandparent, don't think that you're off the hook either. Grandparents are also to be involved. And so, and it includes grandparents, great-grandparents as well. Okay. Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. Have a look there. These commands, chapter 5 is the Ten Commandments. So Moses is alluding to those. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. And then Moses goes on. He says, impress, or I suppose another word of impress would say, teach them to your children. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. Can you see the role of the parent and even the grandparent, especially as the father, the head of the home? It is not just to leave our kids to grow up in the hands of someone else. It is not just to leave the kids, oh well, come grow up, and when you're grown up, come and see me again, and then we can enjoy a nice life. Our role is to teach, to instruct, to train our children in the ways of the Lord. Proverbs 23, verse 13 and 14, I don't think I haven't got it up there, but well, we had it up a moment ago, didn't we? Which said that we are to not withhold discipline from the child, but by giving them discipline, we actually save their soul from death. In other words, Paul is telling us, dads, this is what you are to do. It's about teaching our children about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the idea of putting and talking about them along the road and when you lie down and tying them as symbols and binding them on your forehead, not that we have to literally do that, but the idea is that all the time. We have fridge magnets in our house and we've got these things stuck up. Occasionally we'll have a sign stuck up around the house reminding us about something related to the Bible. Paul is saying that we must constantly be talking, teaching, training, instructing our children, especially as fathers, in the ways of the Lord. So that means, dads, we are initiating family devotions because we want to see our children come to salvation and not lose their lives. It means that when our children speak about things of the Bible, we engage them in conversation. We don't just brush them off. We try and explain things better to them. Perhaps we all need help in those, and maybe you want to come and chat to me again about how do I start family devotions, or what should I do, or things like that. Come chat to me. Not that I'm the expert, but I can again help. It means that as a dad or as a granddad or as a great-grandfather, I'm more concerned about my child's spiritual well-being than their popularity at school. As a Christian father, true love is expressed for our loved ones when we share the love of Christ with them, not in teaching them how to be popular or to gain worldly success or to gain wealth. I personally would rather have poor Christian children who follow the Lord Jesus Christ than rich non-Christian children. I would rather have unpopular Christian children at school than popular non-Christian children. Why? Because that is how I show the love of God to my children, by teaching them about the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So dads, are you the type of guy who leaves the raising of your kids to your wife or to others, sometimes even our domestic workers? Think again. God wants dads involved, not sitting on the couch. God wants dads to show their love, to show God's love to their kids, not just by giving them everything they want, but by training and instructing them in the ways of the Lord. If you're anything like me, you need lots of help in that. We need lots of prayer. So let's pray and ask God to help us as dads and moms and grandparents to live up to what the Lord expects us to and to teach our families about Him. So let's pray. Lord, we do just thank You for this great passage in Ephesians where we've just been reminded again of what the role of the father and the parent is in the lives of our children. Lord, we ask and pray that You would give us help and strength to be able to do this task, this difficult task. Lord, we pray that You would help us as we train our children, as we instruct our children in Your ways. You would give us wisdom, we pray, and help us to do this, even when our children might not want to. But Lord, we pray that You would really give us the strength to do this now as we go from here. In Your name, Amen.